Thank God that I am not a slave or a Gentile or a woman. I am a woman. That is a prayer that the Jewish men often prayed. I thought to myself, I wonder why they prayed that kind of a prayer. You know, my first reaction was, oh, that's not very polite, is it? Like that very much. But actually, they had good reason to pray that. The women couldn't pray that, of course, because actually their lives were not that wonderful. And I thought, I'll look in the Lion Handbook to the Bible. And I discovered, see how much of this I can remember before I look at my notes. I discovered that women, once they were married anyway, they had to wear veils. And this is in Jesus' time in Palestine. They were normally married by the time they were 14. They weren't generally educated, except by their mothers on how to look after the house and do the washing and all that sort of stuff. They weren't allowed to be witnesses in trials. They weren't acknowledged in the streets and often not even by their husbands. And that really surprised me. Does it surprise any of you? So I thought, well, maybe the Lion Handbook to the Bible have just got it wrong. They're just looking at one source or something. And also advised by my mother, I had a look online at a couple of other sources, and it was about the same. Actually, that was what women's lives were like in the place where Jesus lived. Now, we're not used to that because we're used to reading the Gospels, and the women who knew Jesus didn't experience that from the way he interacted with them. And in fact, he was the only rabbi who had female disciples. So that's very interesting. So I think we've got a little team of people who are going to come and read a story, which is tonight's passage. Thank you.
The reading this evening is from Mark 7, chapter 24 to 30. And it's how Jesus honors a Syrophoenician woman's faith. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered the house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia.
Jesus, I beg you to drive the demon out of my daughter.
First let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it their dogs.
Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.
For such a reply you may go, the demon has left your daughter.
She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon had gone.
Thank you. So this passage is about two people, about Jesus and a mother. And what I want to do first is just to look at the state that Jesus and the mother were in, and then spend a bit of time looking at the story, and then to finish up with what it means to us. So, Jesus, I figure, is a little bit tired, and he's looking for some space. He's gone somewhere that he's not known, or that was the plan, because he's gone away from Judea, and I think that he's gone to friends. I've just made that up, but I don't feel as if he went into Tyre and just went into some stranger's house and decided that he was going to hang out there for a while so no one would find him. I think he probably knew these people, but he was not known in the area. At least that was the plan. The woman, the mother in our story, is looking for help. So Jesus wants some peace and quiet, and the woman wants some help. Jesus has a very clear, he's got a clarity of calling. He knows that he has been called to the Jews, to the children of Abraham. And the woman also has a very clear calling, or she has a clear need. So they are in conflict, aren't they? So the first two are in conflict, and the second two are in conflict as well. Jesus' calling and the woman's need. Jesus' need for space and the woman's need for help. The final thing that I think just sets a scene here is that Jesus is a foreigner in that country. He's an outsider, and the mother is an outsider to God's kingdom. She doesn't belong in amongst the Jews together with the other people that Jesus has been called to. So that's just setting the scene. So now I would like to go through the story. Oh yeah, that's really good. So that, can you see it seems to me he's quite a long way from Capernaum. He's really out of the way there. Okay. So verse 24. Jesus is incognito. He goes off to Tyre for a bit of R&R, rest and relaxation or recuperation or something. The mother, she's got her ear to the ground, and as soon as she hears that Jesus is in the area, she goes and finds him. And that got me thinking, how did she know about him? And conveniently for me, I've been reading Mark's Gospel, and I just stumbled across this in Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verse 8, you can turn to it if you want or not. And it says, when they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. So it seems to me that it's possible that the mother in this story heard about Jesus from one of her neighbors who'd gone and seen him in Capernaum. Or it's also possible that she was there, only she didn't like to draw attention to herself. I favor the first one because I don't know whether she would have gone that far from her daughter, who was in great need. The other thing that struck me about this is this woman was from Syria, wasn't she? So they're in the news a lot these days for us. Verse 27 says that the mother begged Jesus to heal her daughter. And it's very easy, isn't it, just to flip over that bit. Some of you have daughters with significant health issues. I have a daughter with a significant health issue. I know what it feels like. That woman wasn't just begging him. She was on her knees. She'd got hold of his legs. She may have been pounding the floor. That's what I have done. I have been on my knees. I have been pounding the floor. God, do something for my little girl. This woman was begging Jesus, begging and begging him. And he says, go. Your faith has saved you. Does he? No. Look at this. Verse 25, he says, first let the children eat all they want, for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. How extraordinary. It's not what we're used to, is it? When the Jews wanted to be really rude about the Gentiles, they called them dogs. Actually, it's pretty rude in England these days to call someone a dog, isn't it? I was chatting to my brother, because I have a lovely family I chat to them about also, and my brother said, oh, no, Grace, it wasn't ordinary dogs. They were the children's little puppy dogs. It was their pets, and it probably was, because that's, if you read the context, it was their pets. But nevertheless, that was the context in which Jesus used this word. Actually, you know, this message, I have been called to the Jews. You are not part of this family. You do not have any rights to this. And of course, the woman goes, excuse me, because that's what we've learned, isn't it? That's what you do when someone's rude to you. You say, excuse me. No, she didn't. She said, all right, you've got me there. Actually, I haven't got any rights at all. But I know that you are the Almighty God and you can do anything. It doesn't even need to be a lot. I just need a crumb. just give me a crumb. And that's all it took. And Jesus gave her a crumb. He didn't put it quite like that. He said, it's your faith. So I thought, why did he do that? Because he healed the little girl anyway. The demon was gone when mum got home. If you just flick back into it immediately before this story, earlier in chapter 7, Jesus is having a discussion with the... I've got somebody checking over there. You'll find he is. He has a discussion with the Pharisees about what is clean and what is unclean. And in amongst Jesus' disciples, and there were disciples there, by the way, it's mentioned in Matthew, I think. The disciples would have seen the Gentiles as being unclean. So Jesus was already teaching that what the Jews considered to be unclean may not be unclean. And here was the story happening right in front of him. He was showing his disciples that his calling, although initially to the Jews, was also for anyone who believed. And if he hadn't questioned the woman like this, then that opportunity would have been missed. So what have we got to learn from this mother's story? And I suggest three things. First of all, the mother recognized her need. Does anyone listen to the archers? Tiny little hand went up. Okay, so I'm going to have to tell you the story. So Will Grundy in the Archers, it's absolutely tragic. His wife has just died and left him with one tiny little child and a couple slightly older. And he can manage. You remember that one? He can manage. He's fine. He doesn't need any help. And his family come round and they bring him food. And the food all ends up in the fridge. He doesn't warm it up. The kids are not... being fed, he's not sleeping properly, and if anyone tries to help him, he said, I'm fine, I don't need any help. And he does all these figures, and he takes them along to his boss, and he says, I've worked all this out. And his boss says, what are you doing here? Your little child is in the car, and she's getting cold. And he says, it's fine. He says, take some time off, take a couple of weeks off. No, I'm fine, I can do my job. Will Grundy did not recognize his need. What is your need? Do you recognize it? Because you've probably got a need. Just because you're not aware, you've probably got a need. I think we can learn from this woman to recognize our need. She recognized her need. The second thing that she recognized was she recognized her rights. She had none. There weren't any. We're so used to listening to sermons about the rights that we have in Jesus that we swan along thinking, I've got a right to this, I've got a right. Yes, we have all those rights in Jesus, but they're not our rights. They're not because of anything that we've done. It's not because of anything that you have done that God is blessing you. He's blessing you because he chooses to. It's not any right. She recognized, God blessed her, God healed her daughter, but she recognized that she had no right to that. She came and she asked him, and as she asked him, she recognized that she had no right to ask him. Come before him today and recognize that he wants to bless you, but it's not because you have any right. It's because, and the third thing that she recognized was she recognized her Savior. She'd been listening out for him, she'd heard about him, and when he arrived, she made a beeline for him. And I want to invite you this evening to make a beeline for him. Come to Jesus with whatever need it is that you have this evening, and beg him, put it at his feet. recognize that he can fix it. You have no right. But Jesus died so that you could have all these things. And this evening, we're going to remember in communion that he has died for us. We are going to be remembering that he shed his blood so that we could come before him and that he can meet our needs. And so I just invite you to do that this evening, to come to the communion table in groups or on your own and just remember that Jesus has died so that he can meet your needs. Amen.